Hello and welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place where we do interventions. Brandon.
Oh.
How do we call you a champion when you only finished 32 out of 46?
It wasn't my best showing. I'll give you that. I'll pass the buck off and say that I should have played a practice game before I went.
I was going to say that's the intervention. Practice yeah. more, Brandon.
Yeah. Next year, I'll get on DMT and...
I will also
make him
say,
play some games with me.
I will also say that intervention for myself, Jake, do better. Be more innovative. Be more into it. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say. Anyway, cue the music. Hello and welcome to the Don't Evolve Me, the place like Ash comes with Pikachu. We don't evolve, we just level up and do interventions with Meme. Hi.
Hello.
We are here to preview Superman, Everything Superman, the movie coming out in July, directed by James Gunn, and the official, unofficial start of the DCU. I guess it's technically the official, but it's not like the technical start.
I mean, we've had
Creatures Commandos.
I can never remember the name of that
Force
show for some reason.
M.
Yeah, such a good show, but I can never remember the name of it for some reason.
Yeah, so we'll go through that. We'll also be talking Ironheart, and I think I'm going to start with Ironheart. The first three episodes were dropped this week, and I'll be completely honest with everybody here. I did not think the show was going to be good. Not because I don't like Ironheart. I actually indeed kind of like Ironheart. This is like when I started reading comics, was like her run. That was the first Iron Man comic that I actually followed, was Riri Williams. So there was like, she has a place in my heart a little bit, this character. I didn't think it was going to be good. Disney didn't treat the show, wasn't, you know, marketing the show whatsoever. It was part of this Disney Plus pitch to streaming, and it just seemed like this show was going to fall by the wayside. And I want to say this. I watched the first three episodes. It's a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
Interesting.
I even will say that directing-wise, acting-wise, music and all that is actually really, really good. And the writing itself and the premise is, honestly, there is ingredients for a great show. So I'm going to say this. Ironheart, it looks great. Has me hooked. Had Sapphire hooked, my wife. The first episode, we were just like, okay, I thought this show was going to be bad. Go on. The show is about Riri Williams. She's very similar to Tony Stark. Very kind of this, all about building projects. Her whole mentality, her whole phrase, thanks to DC Bruins, got me on this. What is like the phrase of your character, the phrase of your story? Her whole thing is like, I'm going to get money as much as I can so I can build what I want because I can build it. Very similar to Tony Stark. And so she ends up doing a lot of morally questionable things, selling her tech just in order to get money so she can build her inventions. She eventually gets into this villain, the Hood, who is more or less kind of like Robin Hood, steals from the rich with his gang. And it's just this really interesting character where she's not a straight up hero, but there is this like philosophical divide between her and the Hood when they do things, because they're stealing. She has no problem stealing, but there's like that, like he'll go to the next step where it's like, she's just trying to get her inventions. And it brings this really cool dynamic. And one of the dynamics in the show that I really love is the fact that it's based in Chicago. It feels like she's in Chicago. I've lived in Illinois. I've been to Chicago many times. Like, it was really just fun watching her go in and out of Chicago because it felt like she was there. Very similar to like Spider-Man in New York. You feel like Chicago is like a part of the community, or you feel like it's just a part of the show. Like it's a character in the show. And another great part about the show is like, she has a backstory, Riri Williams, of her, I believe her step family dying in the comics due to drive by. And this is one of her big drives of the show, one of the big drives of the character. And one of the interesting developments in the comic itself is Tony Stark becomes the AI in her suit, and Tony Stark, in the personality of Tony Stark, like, mentors her. In the show, they do something different because, like, she never met Tony Stark, has no connection other than the suit itself, and that she's very similar to Tony Stark. In the show, the AI is the personality of her best friend, her stepsister, who she lost in the drive-by shooting, along with her stepdad. And so the whole arc is her overcoming her, this trauma, this avoidance, and this AI is just like pops up, and it's like her sister, the mannerism of her sister. Now there's the whole, like, how did this happen? She put some wire in her head. Somehow, some way, she fell asleep and her dreams made the AI. There's some, like, but, like, it's very interesting. So when I say, when I watch the show, I'm like, the premise and everything else, like, there is the makings of a great show, but here's the cons.
Okay.
The writing feels amateurish. It, like, it reminds me of, like, a lot of the writing that I did early on, where, like, there's a lot of cool ideas, a lot of cool concepts, but they just don't, they're not blended well with the story, and it doesn't land. So, like, watching it, it just, like, the dialogue feels just a little bit off. It feels a little bit fake, it feels a little bit forced, but it's not, like, enough to derail the show. But it's, like, right as of now, I'm giving it a 3-. Like, it's Hawkeye and Miss Marvel level. I'm like, but I'm like, there's potential for greatness here, but it's not quite landing. So I'm like, I just wanted to share the moment or share this, because, like, I wasn't planning on reviewing it until, like, at the end, and I thought it was going to be horrible. It's not. It's interesting. It's a really well directed show. Like, the music and the acting is great. I don't remember who the actress is who plays Riri, but she's doing a great job. I'm bought into her character. Like, it's a good show.
Interesting. That's not what I expected to hear.
No.
Kind of expected it to be terrible.
I did too. And I'm not, it's definitely not like a, Brandon, go watch this show. It's good. It's not like Agatha where it's like, you got to give it a chance. It's a, no one has its flaws.
Maybe your expectations were so low.
Yeah.
That it, like, couldn't possibly meet those low expectations. I mean, hasn't it, like, technically been done for, like, 2 years or something? And they just, like, kept retooling it and messing with it and stuff like that.
Something like that. And I don't know if it feels that way or if it just feels like it's, they didn't touch it for 2 years.
Yeah. I guess not yet.
Yeah.
Daredevil, the first two episodes of Daredevil Born Again also felt very cohesive and stuff. And then all of a sudden we got to the next episode and we're like, oh.
That's fair. So, then the last three episodes could be trash. IGN, I think, gave it a 5 out of 10. So I, like, when I read that and read some other reviews, I'm like, okay, it's not going to be great. But then I watched it. I was like, no.
Is it only 6 episodes?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I kind of like that, though. Not everything needs to be so long.
I
tell some shorter stories sometimes.
I agree. I just don't know how 6 episodes works. Like, 8's maybe, I feel like 10 is like the right number. Like, Netflix 13, I always thought was like 3 episodes too long.
I would even be fine with like some 4-episode miniseries and stuff like that, where they're all, you know, just like something that's too deep for a movie, but not quite like drawn out so much for like a show.
Like a Sherlock Holmes BBC situation where it's like 3 episodes, but like each of them is like 90 minutes long.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be down for that.
I'd be down for that, too. I feel like you can make 6 episodes work. I just don't know. Like, I haven't seen it yet from Disney.
Mm.
And I don't... It's that weird place of, like, it's not a movie, but it's not a really a TV show. And that's how I felt about Echo, too. I'm like, this just... There isn't enough time to really dive into something great, and just the story itself isn't great. But I'm excited for next week. I'm excited for the next 3 episodes. I wasn't expecting to feel this way.
Okay.
So, all right.
Keep me updated.
We'll do Superman.
Yes.
Let's recap a bit. So, James Gunn has taken over the DC universe, along with, I think, Peter Safran. Saffron. Is it? I feel like it's Saffron. Maybe that's.
I've heard people say Saffron. I've never like heard him say it. I don't even know what he looks
okay,
like.
Okay, that's fair.
I've heard Saffron.
But anyway, these two take over DC. James Gunn is the narrative guy, and so Creatures Commandos comes out as this like weird official, unofficial start to the DCU. It's a TV show. And so far, what we got from this TV show is we have Task Force M.
M.
For Monster.
M. Yes.
As well as we learn through Creatures Commandos what's canon, what kind of is and isn't canon. One of the things that is canon is the Suicide Squad, but it's more of like a distant memory rather than... It's like one of those things where it's like it's an imperfect memory. And that's how James Gunn described it. Whereas like Peacemaker is mostly canon, other than the Justice League showing up. Otherwise, everything is... So, recapping Creatures Commandos, we have... What is it? Pokalstan is under attack by Cersei Amazonian sorcerer. I also spelled it incorrectly, so I'm like, no, that's not helping it. We have Task Force M saves the day. Cersei kind of reveals that, like, hey... Something's not right here. The princess, she has plans to destroy the Earth. We reveal, or learn that she basically did have those plans, but it's like very early beginning. We don't know how she's going to. We see the vision of Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman essentially dying. Task Force M, Creatures Commandos, then is tasked to kill. And then we get the, you know, the final shot of... the show, and essentially things happen. The threat is neutralized, but it's still there. We learn Rick Flag Sr., who's going to be in Superman, and I believe that's it, right? That's the only crossover.
I think so, that I've heard.
Yep.
Like, directly.
And then I know that Rick Flag Sr. and a bunch of people from Superman is also going to be in Peacemaker too. So this is where we are in the DCU. Now I also want to recap the trailers. This is what we've seen so far. This is the narrative that we've seen from Superman. Lex Luthor wants to kill Superman and everybody he loves. A very evil-ish version of Lex Luthor. We don't know why. We don't know necessarily what his motivations are, but we know that that's what he wants. He has Ultraman. He has his assistant. I forget what her name is, but is it Mercy?
That sounds right.
Yeah. I know Young Justice and Justice League had a version of this, and I think this is like the assistant we've seen in the trailer. Metamorpho is in the movie. We have the Justice Gang. Justice Associates. Wait, I forget. It's JLA.
The Justice League of America?
Yes, yes. I'm blanking. I'm bad today. We have Jimmy and the team. We have a bunch of like Jimmy and the Daily Planet videos, which I think is really dope and reminds me of My Adventures of Superman, which I have watched this week with the kids. Kind of want to talk on that show too a little bit. And then we have Crypto the Dog. And that is what we have for Superman. So, Brandon, what is your expectations for this movie? And what does this movie need to be to launch the DCU officially from the film perspective?
Expectations are hard. I mean, I think not having an idea of what's going to happen is helping to make it more interesting.
Yep.
It doesn't feel like we just know what the movie is before we've seen it.
It seems like there's a lot of shit that's going to happen.
Yeah, it seems like he's shown... Like, we've seen so much in trailers and stuff already, but I feel like this is a feeling I get, that is just, like, a very small part of the big picture.
It feels like what's the term? Where you're going...
Red herrings.
Red herrings, but, like, when you show, like, a bunch of clips at once, and it's, like, montage.
Yeah.
It honestly feels like a bunch of clips from a montage of, like, this is what Superman deals with on a daily basis or a weekly basis.
Yeah, like a lot of this could be in the first just like part of the movie.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the movie we have, you know, could be anything.
And I honestly think we get an extra villain too. I think there's another villain that's like associated with Ultraman or like the version of Ultraman that we see. But I don't know who it's going to be, but I feel like there's going to be one more villain.
I think you're right. I guess I don't know if Lex Luthor is going to be like the main villain.
I think he is. I mean, James Gunn said he is, but James Gunn's also known to like lie to people.
Yeah. I could see there being somebody like, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if we get a little Brainiac action or something still.
That's who I'm hoping for. I know Brainiac's your favorite. My first guess was Brainiac, but then I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised if we get a Metello, and I wouldn't be surprised if we get, who's the other one? Bizarro.
Yeah.
Because I have a feeling Bizarro is like the villain James Gunn would hide. Brainiac, yeah. Too. And I just get that like feeling. I'm like, I feel like Bizarro's in this movie or Brainiac. It just feels very James Gunn. It just feels like a villain that James Gunn wants to do justice.
I think it is kind of ironic that for most of like all these other superhero movies and stuff, we're like, the last thing that we want from the first movie is like the main character just fighting another version of himself, which is what we got in like the first phase of Marvel and stuff like that a lot. But ironically, like most of Superman's main like big villains or a lot of them are just like evil versions of himself.
Yeah.
So like it's like canon more so. Like there is some of that, but like you don't see Iron Man fighting Iron Monger all the time and stuff like that in the comics. Yeah. It's kind of like a one-time thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas like Superman's always going against these evil versions of himself one way or another.
It's like Invincible, you know, like he often deals with evil versions of his dad or himself. I mean, obviously with like Angstrom Levy, but it's definitely like, and I'm sure Invincible is kind of, in a sense, just parodying off of Superman and fighting his many evil versions of himself. And we are supposed to get an evil version of Superman in, of sorts. Like, we get Ultraman, which in the comic is an evil version of Superman.
Right, right. That just kind of seems like confirmation. It would be kind of weird to have Ultraman and, like, Bizarro or something in it, right?
Or maybe Ultraman is Bizarro? That's like what I'm getting from. Like, yeah. Ultraman just comes off as red herring. Like, what is he?
Yeah,
he could also be Superboy.
He is kind of a generic evil Superman.
Yeah, like I could see him being Superboy as well. Like it feels like Ultraman is definitely like the red herring of the movie, as well as the green and purple light in the background of all these shots.
Yeah. Yeah, like, that's just added to mess with people.
Well, like, I get the vibe of Brainiac, because that's similar to Brainiac colors, but it's also like Luthor colors. It's also just any DC villain colors, if you think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, Joker, Riddler's green, Penguin's often purple. Joker?
The Jonkler is going to be the villain?
maybe. We had an Injustice movie happening.
Oh, man. That's how it ends with him killing the Joker. And
With the Joker killing Lois. I would hate that. That's a Zack Snyder thing. Keep that in the DCU.
Yeah. Keep that in the what do they call it? The Elseworlds stories and stuff like that. Yeah. Keep our prime Superman pure.
So, this movie is just... So here's my expectations for it. I think this movie is the 4+. Like, I think James Gunn is going to give it his all. And for the most part, his 4 is a 4. Like, it's great. His 4 is greatness. And if he
hasn't done wrong so far.
And I feel like this movie, he's going to put a lot into it. And I think he knows how big it is. And I think he knows how culture, like, us as a culture want Superman to be great. And I think he's going to deliver. So I'm saying expectation is 4+. I don't want to say it has to be a 5-, but I think it has to be a great movie that you're like, oh, is this the greatest Superman movie of all time? Is this like one of the greatest DC movies of all time? I think it's going to get there, but I also think it needs to be there.
I agree with that. I think that it really needs to set the bar super high for the DCU going forward, especially competing with like Fantastic Four right now.
Yep.
I'll bet it's going to be like directly compared to that movie a lot. And I mean, it seems like Marvel is doing something over there with Fantastic Four. And personally, I am more hyped for Superman than I am Fantastic Four.
Same. And I'm hyped for Fantastic Four. Mm. I'm hyped for that. I'm hoping that franchise, that Super Family, gets a good movie for once.
Mm. Maybe or at breathes least a little bit fresh life into the Marvel universe. Gives us some more like anchor kind of characters to.
Well, that's what it's interesting.
Want to see?
Because like, there's a lot of people that's going to be like, "Oh, Superman versus Fantastic Four, Marvel versus DC," and I'm like, I don't see that. I don't think that's what's at stake here. I don't think it's Marvel versus DC here. I honestly think there's room for both to be great, but I also think there's both room for them to both just bomb.
Yeah.
And really, it's DC versus DC, Marvel versus Marvel. Can
It really is. This is kind of like, I know we were saying this before with like Deadpool, Wolverine and stuff, but we really are, you know, we're still in that cusp of whether or not like we're going to keep going with all these crazy superhero movies or they're just going to start to fail more and more. And if they don't kind of like Marvel with re-correcting their main, you know, vision, Fantastic Four, and DC with kicking off a whole new universe with this, it is kind of a pivotal point for both of them, I think.
It is. I honestly think it's probably going to be the most pivotal month for both of them, at least in the sense of like, Marvel needs to keep going. If this is a flop, and then Doomsday and Secret Wars as well are like a flop, it's probably be a reboot. And honestly, that was going to be one of the hot takes I didn't really get to express so much at WAFES was, I think Marvel's rebooting regardless. I think they have to, and I think like they're going to have to soft reboot regardless.
Been long enough that after like they finish Secret Wars and stuff, like doing
it makes sense.
Like a I don't know, what do they call it in Marvel? I know like in DC it's like a crisis event type thing usually that resets the
crossover.
But yeah, it could very well be time to reset the timelines in the Marvel universe.
I don't know if
Wars. Like where do you go from there, honestly?
I think you just focus on X-Men and then you have other characters in the background and you just reset the universe. Like you still have like the history,
but that's what I mean. Yeah. You reset. But like, if you don't reset, where do you go from after Secret Wars and stuff like that? Like there's not too much further you can go.
How many legacy characters can you make? I mean, I think you could make it. It's just, it's not going to be nostalgic anymore. You advance down a story that comics rarely go, which is growth.
Yeah, that far. Yeah, exactly. Like that far down the rabbit hole.
So we'll see. And then we have DC, where they're restarting a new universe and trying to have established universe that tells great stories, which James Gunn is the perfect person to do that. Now it's seeing if he can do that with Superman. I think the world wants a good Superman movie, a great Superman movie. I hate when people are like, oh, Superman, like, he's boring. He can't be written well. It's like, he's boring to the unimaginative because you just see him as this limited or this limitless power. There is no growing. He's just great. And it's not that interesting. I'm like, no. What's interesting about Superman is that, yeah, he is limited. Like, he has essentially limitless power, but he still has to get there. He still has to grow. He still has that like Goku growth, as well as what makes Superman interesting is he's not human, but he's raised with these like really high standards, these really high morals, and he becomes like the best of all of us. He inspires hope. And I'm like, that's a character that's just not well done. That's not done often. And I'm like, he's a great character to write for. There's a lot of stories you can do with that. You just got to use your imagination a little bit. My Adventures with Superman. Just rewatch the first season. That show's brilliant. It really is. It's also really cute with like Clark and Lois. Like it's a cute story where it's like, oh man, I remember like those relationship days when you're just like going back and forth, and it's like flattery, but like it's respectful. Like on top of like all the Superman stuff, like it's a really great show, and I'm like, that cartoon, if you have any doubts that Superman can't be made well, go watch My Adventures with Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it does it very well in a fresh way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that, I agree. I haven't watched all of it, but I've where I would like to finish watching it. So it's an enjoyable show. Yeah, it's a good Superman show. Probably the best. I mean, the animated series is always going to have a place in my heart.
Oh yeah,
it's like that is Superman in my mind still.
Animated series is really, really good. Justice League does Superman well. Young Justice does Superman well. But this, I think this is the first story that's just like focused on the origin. And
what about Smallville?
I was going to say Smallville. Like, it doesn't over-focus on Smallville. Smallville didn't know when to end.
Yeah. It was too, I don't even know if it had to end. It was just too scared to like take the next steps.
Yeah.
So it just like stayed in place for a really long time without anything changing.
We didn't want the show to end until he like took off his cape. It's like, okay, well, that's the story. You're trying to steal Superman without, you know, Superman. It's like, you can't be the Blur for so long. You just got to be Superman. And it's either you stop making the show or you...
Let him be
Superman, or you do what they did and you carry on for five more seasons than you have to tell a Superman story without telling Superman. Then the entire time it's just been like, I wish Superman was here. It's like it's same with like Gotham, you know, like, oh, we're not gonna tell the story until this story is before he turns into Batman. But it's like, you're already telling Batman stories without Batman. Like, the you're trying to cook without the main ingredient.
Right. No, I agree. Like, there's only so much, like, setup you can do and stuff in the background.
Yeah.
Because like, even, I haven't seen the Penguin show, but, like, Batman exists in that world, right?
He does, yeah.
Like, he may not be directly in the show, but he does exist and, like, is a force out there kind of thing. And that's enough
a
lot of the time.
They could have done more of showing Batman as a force. I think they showed him once, and it was at the end, and it was really well done how they showed him. And like, it should have at least like, he should have been more of a presence, at least indirectly, on that show. I agree that he should have never been on the show, but indirectly, like Creatures Commandos, right? Like,
they talk about Justice League and stuff like that, and kind of
you see the silhouette of Batman, and I'm like. Yeah. That's it. He just needs to exist. Marvel sucks with that now too. Like, Black Panther has a funeral. No Avengers show up. It's like you need a little bit more connection, connective tissue.
Yeah, I mean, everyone showed up to Tony's funeral.
No one showed up to Natasha's.
Yeah,
this is the same movie.
That's true.
Yeah, so Superman, I am excited for it. What character outside of Superman are you excited to see? And I'll even say Lex Luthor.
I mean, I am excited to get like, hopefully a more. I don't know. I guess once again, my like opinion of Lex Luthor, like the Lex Luthor that I imagine in my mind, is like the animated series Lex Luthor.
Yeah,
back in the day, you know, very. Like
stoic,
controlled, stoic, very like kind of classy and, you know, more refined, like that businessman style, like people, you know, like in the background kind of thing. I like Nicholas Holt, and I definitely think he could do that, but he doesn't quite fit my picture of Lex Luthor in my head.
That's how I felt too. I have Justice League Lex Luthor as my base Lex Luthor.
It doesn't quite fit the mold in my head, but I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. It's really all about like his presence, like that's what's gonna sell him for me, is like, does he like command the room when he walks in, you know? Do people like respect him to that level, like,
or is it super silly like Jesse Eisenberg?
Is
there a balance of like cartoon villainy and seriousness of like that commands respect? Or,
you know, behind closed doors, I think it's fine to have a little bit of that cartoonish villainy and stuff like that. But like, as long as like he keeps that facade up, you know, all the time, it's not just like breaking down, you know, going nuts.
I feel like he's gonna nail it. I really do. And like, you see it with like Clark Kent and like with Superman in the interview in the trailer, because he's just like, oh, you want me to interview? You want to do this? Like, all right. It's like, Superman, Lois Lane. Like, you like you see the transition. I'm like, that's dope. And I think I had the same question, because, you know, Nicholas Holt presented him as this like very cartoony, like, let's go, I'm going to fucking kill you and your family type of, and it's like very cartoony Lex Luthor. And I'm like, is there a different level to that? Or is that like what we're getting? Cause that reminds me of like Jesse Eisenberg, but that's not the like Lex Luthor I'm used to. It's the more reserve version of him. And maybe there's a world where we get both. We get the public reserved, we get the Lex Luthor, and then we get like the Lex Luthor of the villain side. Kind of like the Clark Kent Superman aspect. I can see that happening. Like, James Gunn is smart enough to think of that through.
Yeah, I think so. I have faith. I'm not like assuming anything, but yeah, like the kind of Lex Luthor that doesn't make a move until he's like sure that he's got him in checkmate kind of thing, like, right, you know, like, or won't just like start throwing random people at him or something like that, like,
or maybe that's
Superman, unless he has a plan,
or maybe that's his character flaw too, where it's like he's so smart, like he usually in most things it's like he has to get like that 95% like sureness, but maybe with like Superman his anger gets him to 80 and he becomes reckless in that way. I don't know, like,
I get what you're saying.
I think this, I'm really curious what the Justice League of America, the JLA, what that's going to be like. I'm really curious if Guy Gardner, Nathan Fillion's playing him, Isabel Merce.
His first, like, big superhero role, I feel like. Like, he's been in a lot of, like, superhero movies, but he hasn't really, like,
been this famous.
That, yeah, in that role, yeah. Especially, like, if I know they're talking about, like, a show and stuff, aren't they? A Guy Gardner show.
I'm not sure. They could be. It seems like there's a lot of things in the works that they haven't like announced yet, but we'll see.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
And then they're like moving on to, we do have Peacemaker after this season two. I watched the first episode. It's so good. Do you really want to taste it?
Oh yeah. James Gunn he's got the music stuff on lock.
He does. For sure. I'm just like, whatever you throw in there, I'm going to love. I can't think of the song in my head, but the one from Guardians of the Galaxy 3, like that song was like stuck in my head for months. And it's such a really good song.
I often, when I'm choosing music to listen to, I just throw on like the Guardians soundtrack.
That's fair. Yeah.
On YouTube. It's a go-to for music for me. So thank you, James Gunn.
My other one would be the first Into the Spider-Verse. I'll throw in that soundtrack. It's been such. The second one didn't do quite as good. Nowhere near the level of the first one. But yeah, that's the one that like movie soundtrack that I'm like, I'm gonna throw on, because it's a fun soundtrack. I'm trying to think of other characters. I'm excited for Jimmy Olsen to be Jimmy Olsen. And I feel like there's been such a push to make him like black, or, and nothing against that in any means, but I almost think it's surprising that they're going to this like base version of the character. And I mean this in the sense of like, not just a physical appearance, but just watching him in the social media. Like, it feels like we're getting that silly Jimmy Olsen back.
Nerdy.
Yeah. Nerdy, and like my adventures with Superman, he's African American, perfectly fine. He feels like Jimmy Olsen to me. So like that stuff never bothers me, because it's very cosmetic. But just the fact that we're getting like the personality of Jimmy Olsen back, I'm happy for that.
He's not a secret spy that's gonna get killed in the first half an hour of the movie, like in Man of Steel.
Yeah, type of thing. Yeah, or just. Yeah. Like in Supergirl, he's like more seriousness. Like, he has like a more serious tone to him. Like, I just want goofy Jimmy. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like it's needed. Like, Lois is a super serious person. You need that like strong personality with her. Superman has to have a sense of like strong personality as Superman. This clumsy personality as Clark Kent. I'm like, Jimmy, you need just like a normal guy in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's what Jimmy is, and that's what he represents. So, like, when you make all the, when you make all these changes to him, he doesn't feel like the everyman. He feels... Yeah. So I'm excited for him. I'm trying to think who else. Metamorphal, just because I like Anthony Cargan. Also, just the makeup looks really dope. But I don't think...
I always thought Metamorphal was really cool when I was younger.
And yeah.
The card set, I have a whole like collection of DC cards.
Ooh, nice.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
That was like always one of my favorites. I don't know why. I just thought he was cool.
Yeah. I mean, he visually is pretty pleasing with his like orange and purple skin. It's just like halfway down the middle. It reminds you of Two-Face a little bit, but it's like not Two-Face. So I'm excited. Also, Anthony Cargan from Barry, just amazing. He's also, I believe, Victor Zsasz in Gotham as well. Which is, I think...
Great. I love him. Barry is so good.
Yeah. Barry's amazing. I'm trying to think what other parts. I'm just excited to see... Another aspect is there's all so much in this trailer, so much in this movie, right? I'm really excited to see Superman just... I really hope it's like this fast pace. Like, we see him do so much. Because I feel like when we watch superhero movies, we don't see them do much of anything. Like, it's like this maybe a week or 2 week snapshot of what they're doing. And we don't get any history or any like visual cues of like all the other things that they do. Whereas like in the comics, it feels like Superman's busy constantly.
Yeah. He's just walking down the street and you hear somebody screaming for help and off he goes.
And it feels like this movie is going to tackle that. It feels like we got a lot, but I'm like, you know, maybe we just get a lot of him doing a lot of different things, but it's not like part of the main plot. It's just, there goes Superman saving the day from this giant
kaiju. Yeah.
Which fucking dope, right?
That's exactly what I want.
So, and it's
more
also
Superman.
Also, this
I want a movie of just like Clark Kent the whole time.
Yes. We also get the Top Gun Maverick style of editing. Direction camera view where he's flying, you get the camera right in front of him, and he's I think that's going to be really cool to watch. I like the trailer where it's just like, hey, big guy up here, and then he flies up, and then you're watching him fly up, and then you know, presumably he's going to go punch down. And I'm like, that's a really cool directing style, so I'm like excited.
Immersion,
so I don't know, I'm just it feels like we're going to get a lot. But it's also the shortest, one of the shortest superhero movies of all time.
I think that could be a blessing in some
ways. I think so, too. I'm in talks of maybe taking my kids to go see it. Scott's in. We were watching My Adventures, you know, like watching with the kids. I don't think my daughter's. Like, it would be perfect, especially Superman, because it's, like, it's such a thing that, like, I've taken on as, like, my own identity, especially with like my old car having Superman in it for like 5+ years. Like, I wore it to my wedding, it was like in the background. So, like, it would have been a perfect movie to take her as like her first movie. And that's something that's like very much on my mind. Scott's first movie was Super Mario, and like that's perfect. He really likes Mario, but I'm like, she's not old enough.
Yeah,
she can sit down for maybe a half hour.
Yeah, yeah.
So, all right. Draft time.
All right.
And then we'll wrap it up. So, we're going to do a villain draft. We cannot get Lex Luthor, Metamorphal, or Ultraman. The premise is for the next two movies in a presumed trilogy, what villains would you want if you were writing these two movies moving forward? Okay. You can use Lex, you can use Metamorpho, you can use Ultraman, you can use all the villains that we know of so far.
Okay.
Those are on the table. Our draft is five villains that we want specifically for a trilogy. We don't need to write the trilogy, we don't need to, just what villains would you like want to grab? If me and you were like in a competition, which ones are like, yes, this.
Okay.
I'm going to give you the first, and then we're just going to go every other. We're not going to do Snake. Okay.
So,
I already know your first
there's
one.
There's only two of us.
Yes.
So this would be like for the sequel, is what we're talking about?
Yeah. So, sequel and third one. What villains would you want to take?
So, am I specifically picking for either one or?
No.
Because I have to. Okay. So I will take Brainiac first then.
I know.
I think that could be a third movie kind of event, like war planet at stake kind of thing.
Third, second, could be first.
I have a different idea. Yeah, it could be first. Could be first or third. I have a different idea for second. So
okay. Brainiac's great. Brainiac would have been my first choice. I think Brainiac would be my first choice for the villain of this movie, with Lex being like another main antagonist in the background. And I honestly think that's where James Gunn is going to. Mm. But Brainiac's so huge that he can, like, Brainiac, he can be small or he can be big. He's one of those villains that's universal, where like some other villains on this list, it's like, it's a big event if he's the villain.
Yeah, I agree. Like, Brainiac could definitely be like a Justice League villain. He could be like very much like a first Justice League villain before you go to like Darkseid or something like that.
He can also be like a Darkseid too, so to speak. So my next one that I would do is specifically because I think I stated on here, I already know what Superman villain or movie I would want.
Okay.
I'm going to put Bizarro as my next choice.
Okay.
I have this idea that I actually want to pitch, but I don't think it would be used anyway. It's just the idea of like Bizarro as a villain, but it's not a movie that you'd think of.
Okay.
Like, my idea is it's going to be set up as a Superman movie, but it's not a Superman movie.
It's a Bizarro movie?
Yes.
Okay.
But honestly, that premise itself might ruin the movie itself. Cause I picked Bizarro
it would be interesting. It would be quite a risk, I feel like. But like if they made it like where it was posed as Bizarro being like the protagonist and Superman was the antagonist.
Yes.
That would be really interesting.
That would be kind of the concept of.
Yeah.
But it's like set up in a way that you're not aware. And I think me just stating it out loud would ruin my pitch to James Gunn. Cause I think like I almost want to pitch it to him. Cause I'm like, I think you would really like this concept. I think like if you could pull it off, it'd be great, but I've already spoken about it on the show.
Mm.
So yeah. All right. Bizarro's my pick.
Well, this is my pick. Cause I think I would love to see it on the big screen for the second movie. Forgive me for the butchering, but Mr. Mixelpilic.
Mixelpilic. I'm just going to butcher it too. Yeah. What is it? Mixelpilic, right?
I've heard it pronounced with Pitalic as the end part before, but I don't know what's right.
Mixelpilic? Yeah, I don't know.
Mixelpilic, yeah.
He's going to be like one of my last picks that I want.
No. Okay. I think having like a whole movie. Like, maybe you have, like, a more tangible villain kind of causing havoc, but then Pitalic is there just screwing with Superman the whole time.
That would be dope. I like how we both have, like, our second movie is like, nope, we're going to do a fun, like, Superman something adventure.
Different. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I'm going to save him. I'm going to go Parasite number 4.
Okay.
I think this is my Adventures of Superman definitely got me onto Parasite because he's such a, as well as Powerplex from Invincible. That's who he reminds me of. And I think Powerplex is kind of Parasite inspired anyway. Just the idea of like a villain where you have somebody who's super, super strong and then you have a villain's like, you know what? If you hit me, I become stronger than you. I like that concept. I like the where he has to. I like when villains arise and superheroes have to not just beat them up. You have to use your brains to overcome the obstacle. And I think that's what Parasite does. I don't know if Parasite could ever be like the main villain of the movie, but I'm like, he's a great second villain. So that's in a sense why I'm taking him.
This is where we're already starting to get to the tougher ones here. I feel like, you know, I kind of, you know, there's like the big powerful villains and stuff like that, that'd be cool. But a lot of like the really big ones, I feel like would just be better in like a Justice League environment.
Yeah.
In a Superman environment. What if I took Toy Man.
Oh, Toy Man. He's on my list. That yeah, works.
I like Toy Man. I kind of like the idea of some more down-to-earth villains, maybe in that second movie with Piddalick, instead of dealing with like one big villain. He's got like a bunch of lower-tier villains that he's trying to stop while also being screwed with the whole time.
No, I like that.
Lower stakes.
He was on my list. I'm going to go Mattello in a very similar way. Weetello, by the way, the Weetello dynasty, the Necron dynasty, the one that you champion.
Yeah.
If you
can't win them all, Jake.
No, but you could win at least two.
You're right. You're right.
I'm just messing with you. I expected you to win none.
I had a chance on the last game.
You did.
But that second game, there was no way. I was dead from the start.
So I like Mattello as like the second villain. I really like him as like this tragic character of like Superman, you did this to me, and using Kryptonite to like empower him and kind of be, well, I guess weirdly the Kryptonite to Superman. So I like that aspect of him. I don't know where I would put him. Maybe I would put him with like Parasite in a movie, maybe with Bizarro. I'm not sure. But I think he's very universal and not well utilized. Because I think he's just a really good second Superman villain.
I like Mattello's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, he's literally got Superman's weakness built in, so he's always a threat, right?
But he's always like that second, like he's always sent.
Yeah.
Or he's like...
He's not he's like a villain most of the time.
Or in My Adventures of Superman, he's an army of Mattellos. Which I don't like that version of him, but I get why that show did that. All right, you have two left.
I think for my fourth pick, I will be taking Mongol.
I was considering Mongol.
I'm thinking kind of like to compare it to Invincible a little bit, maybe more like a Battle Beast-esque kind of character. That isn't necessarily there for like conquering the world or anything like that. He's just coming to fight Superman, and I think that could be a good conflict. Just like how do you deal with that? Like somebody that's just there because they just want to fight you. They're not necessarily like, maybe he starts to threaten to destroy things and stuff like that if Superman doesn't fight him. But you know, how do you stop somebody like that?
All right, I'm going to pick a villain that's utilized a lot, but arguably might be the best Superman villain.
Okay.
And that's General Zod.
I thought that's what you were going to say. Yep.
I don't mind the Michael Shannon version of General Zod. I thought
Michael Zod.
Kneel before Michael Zod. I just really like this character. I like just the very... He's the authoritarian to the humanitarian that Clark is. And I love seeing that parallel. I almost, if drafting him, I would almost make him like a second villain in the sense of like, I would want the movie to start off with like a General Zod invasion, but like have Superman end it.
Yeah.
Just because
we don't need another Man of Steel.
We've seen a lot, and I would really like to see, like, the after effect. What happens if you capture him? What happens, like... Because I think he would...
Send him to the...
Phantom Zone.
Yeah.
Is it Phantom Zone?
Yeah, I think that's right. I can't remember the name.
I just feel like I'm like, is it Superman or is that Danny Phantom?
No, I think that's right. I think it's Phantom Zone.
So, yeah, I just really love General Zod, and I'm like, I know why I'm not picking him early on, but really he should be like the second pick.
All right. This is my last pick now.
Yeah. Are you doing a big one?
Yeah.
Which one are you doing?
Superboy Prime.
Not the one that I was expecting. Okay.
Yeah. Literally.
Okay.
Like the biggest of the bad.
I think I left him off.
I was kind of split. It was either him or Cyborg Superman, Hank Henshaw.
Yeah, he's on my list too.
But I think if you're gonna do a Superman clone, you gotta go for
the big guns, the
scariest one. Yeah,
I like it. I like it. So how are you gonna set up your movies then?
Well, since I got Prime, I think that he's got to be in the last one.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's definitely a trilogy ender there, which means we shift Brainiac to hopefully into the first one here that we haven't seen yet.
Okay.
As the villain.
Yeah.
And then the second one with Pillick would also have Toy Man and probably Mongol as kind of like the auxiliary.
I like it. You could almost have Brainiac in the third one and have like it connected with Superboy.
Yeah, I do. I think Prime and like that storyline and stuff like that is just so big that I think you'd be better off trying to keep it focused and like trying to squeeze two of like the best Superman villains into it. It might be a little bit too much. I do think Lex Luthor could play roles in each one of those movies too.
I agree. This is where it gets tough for me because I'm like, my list is almost like villains that I like, but I'm like, I gotta think setup. So if I'm going with my Bizarro movie, I'm gonna need at least, I'm gonna have General Zod be the first in the second one. And then I need either Metello or Parasite being as well. You know what? We're gonna do Metello in the second one with General Zod. That's gonna be a weird mix of Bizarro, Metello, and General Zod. And they're all not gonna be connected, but they're gonna be connected. So Parasite's going to be my fourth one. So I need someone that's going to be connected with Parasite. And I think I'm going to take Cyborg Superman. Because that's the only one. Yep. That's the only one that makes... Or I could just be like Brainiac 5. It counts.
Yeah, he's not really a villain.
In my version, he is. I just put Cyborg Brainiac. That doesn't make sense.
No, I like Hank Henshaw. I think that Cyborg Superman is a good pick.
I'm more excited for the second one than the third film. The ones that we haven't picked, Livewire, which I was really considering most of this time. Darkseid.
Justice League. This has to be a Justice League movie.
It doesn't have to be, but it's like it feels like a wasted pick.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, it almost needs to be a setup to a Justice movie. Like, he's just that big. It's like Thanos and, you know, Marvel. Like,
He is the Thanos to DC's Marvel or DC's. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying. But, yeah, like, Darkseid's just one of those, like, you, in order to do him justice, you need to do more of him. And I'm like, I wouldn't want to make a Darkseid Superman trilogy. So this is where, Lex Luthor, Cyborg, Superman, and Parasite. Those are the three that are going against Superman.
Okay. I did notice that neither of us chose Doomsday. Are we sick of the death of Superman?
Oh, yes. I was going to say we also didn't do Doomsday as well as Silver Banshee, but she's a lot smaller. Mm-hmm. I do not really care for Doomsday as a villain.
I think I've just seen it so many times.
There's nothing to him. He's just he's just a killing machine. He's a tool. Like that's really what it is. So I'm like, if you're gonna do Doomsday, you're gonna have to make a Doomsday storyline, and they just did that. Not well, but they did it. So I'm like, there's so many more interesting Superman stories.
Yep, I'm okay with putting that one down the line for a while. I mean, Doomsday is definitely an integral part of Superman's like ultimate canon. I feel like, and it is important to like keep it in mind, but I don't think we need to do it for a while.
So like for a show like My Adventures with Superman, I think Doomsday is definitely like one of those villains that you have for later on. Or if you were to tell a story, like if James Gunn was to tell, let's say if he does like a second trilogy of Superman movies, he has the first trilogy and then he has a second one. I think like you can make an argument for Doomsday in the second one that you can make the argument that it's a must.
Yeah, like a the death of Superman storyline, maybe continuing from like the first movie to the second movie or something like that.
Yeah,
'cause it's more of like the aftermath and stuff that makes that story interesting, not necessarily like him dying himself and coming back.
Tell that to Zack Snyder.
Yeah, it's more about
like that storyline was
revival.
Controversial and significant because like it was the first time that Superman died. He's supposed to be this ultimate, you know, being. So his death is shocking and surprising, but it's just not that interesting. So like I see it all the time, like, oh, the death of Wolverine or the death of this character, the death of that character. It's like that the death itself is not that exciting.
Yeah.
It's like death in like D&D. Death in D&D is not that fun. What's fun is depending the consequences. Yeah. At least in my opinion, it's not that fun. But like what is fun is like what comes from it, right? And this is just death in general. What comes from the death? Like you can't just kill people off and be like, aha, isn't that great? We killed somebody. It's like, no. Like Walking Dead. They killed off the season 6 like cliffhanger, and then they killed off another person. It's like that's not, you don't understand what made that great scene great in the comics. It was written really well, and like it paid off really well, and like what happened from that death, like that's what made it great. So yeah, I don't like, I'm not that excited for Doomsday unless there's a lot of setup, and that's I'm thinking like fourth, fifth, sixth movie. I don't want it in the second or the third.
No,
that's just me. But if James Gunn's like, if James Gunn's like, we're gonna do Doomsday, I'd be like, surprised, but okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't have doubts yet.
No. So, all right. Anything else about Superman? Did you tell me what your expectation is?
What my expectation is?
Yeah. Like, what? Yeah, what's like the rating you're thinking?
I mean, I'm going to say a very hopeful 4+. I think.
Okay.
I think anything less than that is going to be a bit disappointing. But I also don't want to set my expectations too high and then just like go in and hate it because it doesn't hit every mark.
What do you give Guardians? Like the first one, volume 1?
I mean, that's a solid 4, honestly.
If Superman was a solid 4 like Guardians of the Galaxy, are you disappointed, excited, or are you kind of just like, eh, not bad?
I think I'm still excited at that point.
Yeah.
I think that is like a good enough point to hit, but I would like for it to exceed my expectations.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. It's hard. It's a 4+, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're expected elite.
Yep.
Best of the best. I'm hoping for this.
There's a lot riding on this movie, I feel like. So
it is.
This is like the big one.
It's also Superman. Like, we deserve, us, the world, deserve an amazing, elite Superman movie. Yeah, that's where I'm going to leave it. So I'm hoping in 2 weeks when we watch it, we're like, this was great. All right, Brandon. Well, this is it. Thank you. Signing off. This is your host, Jake Sherbing. Mean Brandon. I gotta stick to one and leave it there. All right, thank you, sir.